Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
God bless you, church. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Praise the Lord. Man, that technology is the devil right now. But that's okay, because we got a pure heart, amen? The enemy knows what I'm about to preach on, and so he wants to try to get right up under my skin, but it ain't going to work in Jesus' name, because God is about to move. God's word is power, it is life, it is a firm foundation. Who's ready for God's word this morning? Praise Jesus. I want to congratulate, I'm just going to turn these jokers off if they mess with me again. I want to congratulate personally all those who took their next step in their walk with Jesus to be baptized this morning. Church family, can we congratulate them one more time? I'm so proud of each of you, and we are cheering you on as you go after Jesus, because we are a support system that as a church, we love you, we value you, and we're proud of the testimony that God has given you. And I want to just make a declaration over your life this morning. Are you okay to receive a declaration from your pastor this morning? I want to declare over you, God bless you and keep you, Life Church, in the name of Jesus. May his face shine upon you. I pray that his grace would be sufficient for your every need this morning. Who will receive that this morning? That's what I came to church for. I pray the windows of heaven be over this place and over our lives in a significant way. Come on, who came for the windows of heaven to be opened over your life? I believe that this is a year of breakthrough, church. Come on, somebody. I came to church for breakthrough. I came to church to experience the power of an everlasting God. I believe that revival is coming, and God wants us to use us to usher in a next great wave of revival. And I pray every day, may the Lord turn his face towards Life Church. May the Lord turn his face in a powerful and a profound way. And in this holy moment, I'm asking God, speak to us. Speak to us and give us peace. I wonder who came to hear from God this morning. Who came to get God's word in your heart this morning? I thank you for being with us for week one. I want to welcome you. If I haven't met you in person or got to know you in a significant way yet, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. My name is Jonathan, and we would absolutely love to get to know you. If you're a guest this morning, please fill out a connect card so that we can connect with you very soon. We would love to reach out. We're not going to stalk you, but we are going to just tell you how grateful that we are that you were with us this morning. And this morning, I thank you for being with us. February starts a series we are simply calling A Pure Heart. A Pure Heart. How many know that it's pretty easy to tell the difference between someone who has their heart genuinely invested in something and someone who doesn't? Come on, somebody. Oh, you're helping me out, Bree. Thank you. There's a difference, right? When you see someone who is sold out, you can tell it, right? When you see them, right? Amen? Or you can tell when somebody's just putting on a show, putting on a facade. Come on, I came to preach to real people. Any real people in the house? We're going to be honest this morning. A pure heart, this is what a pure heart does. A pure heart goes the distance. Come on, somebody, help me preach this morning, church. A pure heart goes the distance, but a facade will eventually get found out. A facade eventually gets found out. It's obvious when someone is sold out. It's just as obvious when someone isn't. It's just as obvious. We can naturally tell when someone has their heart in it, and we can tell when they don't. So the first point this morning is simply this. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church family that does everything from a pure heart. That's the first point this morning. I know it's not on the screen, but I want to be a part of a church family that does absolutely everything from a pure heart. I don't want to do any worship without having a pure heart. I don't want to preach God's word without having a pure heart. I don't want to have a prayer meeting without having a pure heart. I don't want to give without a pure heart. I don't want to do anything without a pure heart, church. Come on, somebody. I want to worship with passion. I think we should be the most passionate worshipers on the face of this planet. I declare in Jesus' name that at Life Church, we are a people who do what we're called to do out of a pure heart in Jesus' name. I want to pray with fervor. Come on, somebody. Any prayer warriors in the house this morning? I want to be devoted every single day. I want to fall more madly in love with God's word. Every time I open it, I want the words to jump off the pages in my devotion time. I want to live above reproach. I want my standard to be high so that whenever I do have to break a standard, an emergency happens, something changes where I have to do something that I don't normally do, my standard is so high that even if I do have to break it, it's not even close to sin. I want to live my life above reproach. I want my standards to be high. I want to have faith that believes that all things are possible in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. My Bible says that everything is possible for them that believe. I want to see things not for what they are in the moment, but I want to have eyes that can see what they will be when God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, somebody. I want my life to matter. I don't want to just be half-hearted in this life. I'm grateful for the breath in my lungs that God has given me. Come on, somebody. I want to make a difference and advance the kingdom of God every day that I'm alive. And I want people to follow me as I follow Christ. So that means I give my tithe and I give above and beyond for our missions efforts to save souls, because I want this church to be a soul-winning church. A pure heart doesn't take shortcuts, church. A pure heart doesn't take shortcuts. A pure heart doesn't avoid sacrifice if it means doing the right thing. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, but with a pure heart, you can determine to do what's right, even if it's hard. A pure heart does all things all the way. And here's some practical examples. Let's get down to earth if you're okay with it. How many want a pure heart this morning? A pure heart looks like this. It's going to school online at night after the kids are in bed to get your degree. That takes a pure heart. It's forgiving the one who never apologized, because Jesus said we are to be people of forgiveness. Oh, come on. It takes a pure heart to forgive. It's continuing to abstain from certain foods even after the fast is over, because you feel closer to God than you've ever felt before. And it's out of a purity of your own heart that now not eating what you want is actually worth it. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching right there to somebody. Church, I have found it becomes quickly apparent to a world that is watching us. It becomes quickly apparent to a world that is watching when someone does something with a pure heart. It becomes quickly apparent. Why is that? It's because my next point is this: a pure heart sets you apart, church. A pure heart is different. As an athlete, I've seen some of the most talented people, some of the most gifted basketball players get beat because the other team played with pure heart. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been the recipient of the L. Come on, somebody. Because I stopped playing with heart as an athlete. I've seen success come time and time again to individuals who refused to compromise, who stayed resolute to follow God's word even when it didn't make much sense. Come on, somebody. Even when it doesn't make much sense. You see, Life Church, the flags have been intentionally positioned for the last few weeks. We're setting a stage. We're changing the lights. We're setting an atmosphere in this place because we believe that next week we are going to host multiple heroes of our faith. There are going to be many of our missionaries that go across the planet to proclaim God's word here to this next Sunday on the 13th at our missions banquet. And I'm telling you that these individuals live their lives with a pure heart. Hallelujah. Our missionaries give. We're going to hear from missionaries that day in and day out sacrifice their safety, church. Every day we're going to hear from missionaries that they sacrifice their comfort. They put their families in potential of harm's way. They have left friends. They've left family members behind so that people who have never heard the name of Jesus can be saved, church. That's what they're doing every single day. Our missionaries do this and so much more because they have a pure heart. Yeah. And church, a pure heart is what sets us apart. This is Missions Month. And God wants to use this church to make a global difference. God wants to use you and I to play a very important part, but it has to be. I said it has to be, church, from a pure heart. I want to begin this series with a passage that may not seem like a scripture for world missions, but I assure you it has everything to do with missions. The passage will be the foundation of each message in February, and it's such a powerful expression from the heart of David. It's a powerful psalm. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. God, allow the reading of your word to move us this morning. Psalm chapter 51, starting in verse 10. When you get there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
I'm there. If you need me to wait, say wait.
Wait.
Psalm 51, verse 10. I apologize that it's not going to be on the screen this morning.
There.
There.
Wait.
Wait over there.
Maybe your technology is as broke as ours. Psalm 51. I'm going to go for it. Verse 10. You're going to recognize it as soon as I start saying it. David said this, he said, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence. See, here's the deal. This is not some monotone, create in me a clean heart. No, this is God, create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
Renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your presence from me or cast me from your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, says David. And then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. David penned these words shortly after being confronted by the prophet Nathan, and he wrote these powerful words when he recognized how low his sin had brought him. He recognized that David, you see, the story goes, these words were written when David was busted because he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And David did what many of us do if sin goes unchecked in our lives. David did what most of us would do. He tried to cover things up, church. He tried to cover it up. David sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front line of battle, and he knew that that was a death sentence, and God looked at that action and saw it as murder. Even though it wasn't with David's own hand, it was nothing short of murder. And I have this passage of scripture ingrained in my personal mind. I don't know about you, because like David, I have cried out to God like this in my lowest moments. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, restore right spirit. When I've done things I'm not proud of, church, I wonder if somebody else in the room has done something you're not proud of. When I've done something, I've cried out to God with these very words. When I've felt weak and alone, it's been hard to hear the voice of God and sense his presence in my life. I've cried out to God with these exact words. When people have hurt me to my core and I've wanted to give in and give up, I've cried out to God with these words, just like the brokenness that David did. Create in me a pure heart, God. Give me a pure heart, Jesus. Restore a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit. I can't do this without you, God, is what David was saying. I can't do this without your presence. Restore to me the joy. I remember when I was saved. I remember when I was baptized. Restore to me the joy. And grant a willing spirit within me. You see, church, David was experiencing his lowest moment in Psalm 51. He was broken. He was hurting from his mistakes. He was embarrassed at his own undoing. He could sense a growing distance in his relationship between he and God, and he cried out for mercy, church. He cried out, create in me a pure heart of God. And I hear David, and I'm reminded when I needed God the most. I'm reminded when I had to say, God, forgive me. I'm so ashamed. God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. Don't leave me in this mess. Lord, I wonder if there's anybody else who's been there before. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. And sometimes it's healthy to be reminded of our broken moments, church. It's healthy to be reminded at times, not to shame us. God will remind me, I know it, in my relationship with Him. God will remind me from time to time, not to shame me, not to cause me to feel guilty or to manipulate me to do something more for Him, but He reminds me of the times I've been broken to keep me humble, church. He reminds me to keep me humble. He reminds me so that I keep my heart pure. Come on, somebody. I know I started pretty heavy this morning, but we're not going to play religious games today. We're not here to jump through a hoop or check something off of the box. Come on, somebody. I came to hear the voice of God this morning. I came to have my heart purified before the Lord. The reality is this, all of us, every single person that can hear my voice, every one of us need to cry out like this to Jesus, because all of us have done things that we're not proud of. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, is what Scripture tells us. But the good news this morning that I bring this morning is this: major, this is a good point, and I wish it were on the screen, major mistakes can be forgiven when we come to God with a pure heart. Major mistakes. These were not small mistakes that David made, but they were forgiven because he came to God saying, God, I want a pure heart. Purify me, Lord. Scripture tells us that a broken and a contrite heart, God will never deny. Oh, praise God for that. That is good news this morning. If you are brokenhearted, then God will not deny you. He loves you unconditionally. His love is for you. 1 John promises us that if we confess our sin and we repent, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I said all unrighteousness. The gospel and the Roman road is so very crystal clear, church. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news this morning. Pastor, if it's missions month, why in the world are you talking about David? Why are you looking at one of his most difficult psalms where he wrote out of brokenness and despair? I've got a bold statement to make, but I'm going to be obedient because God put it on my heart to say it. I promise you, church, that next week our missions banquet will be inspirational. I promise you next week we're going to have an amazing catered meal that you are not going to want to miss, because it's going to fill your belly and taste great in Jesus' name. Next week, we're going to see and hear firsthand our missions, how our missions giving is changing the world and making a difference. And I promise you, next week, God is going to call us deeper, and He's going to call us to do more, to challenge us to give generously so that we can win more people to Christ for His glory. I promise you that next week, we're going to make commitments for our 2022 missions giving efforts. But here is what God sent me to say this morning, church. If we give $1 million for missions and don't have a pure heart before the Lord, then we will have missed it. We will have missed it if we do. If we jump through a hoop, I promise you, I don't do what we do to get a plaque on a wall for an award from a district that barely loves us. I'm just going to be real. We're out here on our own. But God wants us to do things from a pure heart, church. A pure heart. I do want to celebrate that Life Church was declared one of the top 10 givers of over 200 churches to Speed the Light and missions giving. Praise God for that in 2021. I want to celebrate that as a church we gave over $51,000 to missions last year, and it was close to 20% of our overall income. Most churches are not doing that. Most churches are not giving that much. But I also want to say, we don't give for a plaque. We don't give for an award. We don't give. Here's why we give, church. We give because people matter. We give because souls matter. We give because people need to hear about the love of Jesus, church. We don't give for that. The accolades, Jesus died for souls to be saved, and because people's lives are valuable, that's why we give. That's why we do what we do. I said keep it on the screen for the point. I want to just echo it again. If we give $1 million for missions without having a pure heart, we've missed it. We've missed it. Mark 8:36 said, Jesus said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? I believe God wants us to make a difference as a church. I know we can make more of a difference if all of us are doing something together. Because if all of us share, all of us come together, all of us have a pure heart about us, it doesn't matter if your missions gift is the smallest in the whole congregation. If you do something out of a pure heart, God will bless it. God will bless it. I know God wants to make a difference in us, and I believe God wants to use Life Church to change the world, and I believe He's going to call us to give and give generously, but more than anything, God wants our hearts. And God wants our hearts to be pure, church. David said, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't take me from your presence. Then he said something profound. Right after his heart is right, right after he's gotten his heart saturated in the presence of God, after he got back to his first love and was reminded of the joy of his salvation, he says in verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that then sinners will turn back to you. The pure heart was a prerequisite to reaching transgressors. For over 70 years, this church has been a missions-minded church. For over 70 years, this church has given sacrificially so that the name of Jesus can be proclaimed globally. And I believe God wants to expand and grow our reach, church. And I know that revival is coming in Jesus' name. I know breakthrough is coming. We're going to take care of God's kingdom, and God is going to take care of us. That's what happens when we give, when we're generous. Here's what my Bible says. My Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. Give and it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing into your lap. But as we begin a month of focusing on the Great Commission Jesus has called us to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God sent me to remind us all that helping others requires a healthy heart. It requires a healthy heart. David got his heart right before God, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he penned the words, then I'm going to teach transgressors your ways, and that is when sinners are going to turn back to you. This passage shows you and I that when God purifies our heart, a natural and immediate byproduct takes place, and it's a desire to help others. A natural byproduct takes place. I'll never forget when Jubilee got saved. I was a witness. I was at the summer camp that she gave her heart to Jesus. And I'll never forget it. I've seen others over the years give their heart to Jesus, but never have I seen someone give their heart with such passion and such fervor. It's one of the things that immediately drew me to this young woman on the front row and made me fell in love with her. And she fell in love with Jesus. She didn't just get saved, church. She got delivered, y'all. She didn't just get saved. She got delivered. She went all in. She didn't just get forgiven. She was transformed. Come on, somebody. Anybody else like that this morning? She wasn't just released of her debt. She was transformed by the power of Jesus. See, here's the thing. She used to, her mom would give her money for clothes at every season for school as a young lady. And instead of taking the money to buy clothes, she would go to the clothing store and just shoplift everything. She would take it, steal Mother's Day's gift. Mother's Day's come, Valentine's Day, whatever it was. Before she met Christ, she would steal everything. And she would take that money and use it for drugs. And that was her pattern. That was her addiction. That was her lifestyle. But here's what happened. When Jubilee gave her heart to Jesus, she went and she said, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And so when she walked into her home and she looked at her closet, she took all the clothing that she had stolen and she gave it to Goodwill. She went through all the gifts she had given to her mom and she said, Mom, I'm sorry, you can't have this frame anymore. We got to get this out of the house because the old has passed away and behold, all things are being made new. I'm a new creation. I can't have this in my life looming over me anymore. And Jubilee began to passionately pursue God. Create a pure heart in me, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And as soon as she began to do that, Jubilee began to passionately start sharing her faith with her friends. And week after week, she brought carfuls of people to church with her. And she didn't know much scripture yet. She didn't know doctrine or theology. She didn't even know church etiquette. She would wear things to church where the youth pastor was like, "Sweetie, you need to not wear that next week." She just didn't know because nobody had told her. But shortly after she got saved, she was bringing so many people to church. So many people that her mom literally bought a minivan. Not because her family needed it, but because Jubilee had too many friends that needed Jesus. And it was a byproduct after she got a clean heart. Oh, it caused her to want to save and seek the lost. Helping others requires a healthy heart, church, but a pure heart for the Lord, here's the deal, it's contagious. When you have a pure heart for the Lord, it's noticeable. People take notice. I want what they've got. When Jesus gets a hold of somebody's heart, and I mean really gets a hold of it, the immediate byproduct is a deep desire to help others experience the same transformation that we have, church. I'll close with this introduction week of a pure heart with an amazing Old Testament passage found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you've got your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about Hannah and how Hannah cried out to God and she had a dream to have a child, and yet she was barren, childless, but God heard her pure heart. And we used Hannah's story to posture our hearts as a congregation to believe that the dream is coming. Come on, somebody. The dream is coming. And Samuel is Hannah's dream come true, church. Samuel is born and she does exactly what she promised God. Hannah offered Samuel to serve in the house of the Lord. And as soon as Samuel was able, Samuel would become the prophetic mouthpiece of God that would anoint David to be king, the same man that penned those words, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit." Samuel was a prophet that said, "You'll be the next king." And the story says in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord." Other translations say that he served before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there weren't so many visions. It was silent. And I'm going to stop right there and preach for just a moment. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord is what it says. And the scripture describes him as a boy. Commentaries suggest that he was probably only 12 years old, if not a little bit older, but 12 or so years old. And his 12-year-old self, I want you to hear this, church, his 12-year-old self was serving in the house of the Lord. He was 12 years old. I'm not trying to pick a fight this morning, and I certainly don't want to shame anyone, because I don't think shame and guilt are motivators to create lasting change in our lives. But I think God sent me this morning to suggest that if a 12-year-old in the house of the Lord can serve, then so can you. If a 12-year-old can get up and serve his God, then so can you. Paul said to Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because of your age." So that means if you're young or if you're old, it doesn't matter what generation you represent. If Samuel can do it, then so can you. That's good preaching this morning. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and he said this in Matthew 37 through 38. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, unfortunately, are few." The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. That's what your pastor's doing this morning, is it's time to serve. It's time. The revival is right here in front of us. If we will just get in and jump in with both feet and serve our God. God sent me this morning to warn us, if you want a pure heart, by God, it's important to serve and get involved. This is the reason I say that. It's important because our spiritual development will be stunted if we don't serve. Our spiritual development, that's why I encourage you. It's not because, look, God's going to make the ministries of this church happen, whether you get involved or not. But I care enough about your spiritual development to say, get off the bench and get in the game. Get off the bench and get it. God will grow you and stretch you and push you forward in your faith more than ever if you will just be serving in this church, because our spiritual development will be stunted if we don't serve. Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. He served before he even knew the voice of God, church. He was serving. Church, what am I saying? I'm trying to teach us that when we serve, it changes our heart. When we serve, it changes the condition of our heart. I love that Pastor Diamond is asking us about what in the world to do about our nursery ministry, because it's been multiple weeks in a row where there have been 10 or more toddlers or infants in our nursery because families are coming to our church, and on a constant basis. That is good news this morning. Life happens here, and praise God for the growth that is happening at Life Church. That is awesome. I love that. Good problem. But that means, by God, somebody needs to serve so families can be blessed every week. Somebody needs to bounce a baby from time to time on their knee. When you serve at kids' church or you serve in the nursery, I'm telling you that there's no way that your heart can't grow more in love for Jesus, because you will watch those small children and you'll grow in compassion. You'll see their need. You'll walk away saying, I watched them for 2 hours. I can't imagine what it must be like to be their parents. Come on, somebody. You'll have more compassion for the young families at this church. Your heart will start to pray for the young parents. In Jesus' name, help them, Lord. Can I get a witness? Anybody that's worked in kids' church? I love that Pastor Bree just celebrated some of the new small group leaders for Fresh Life Student Ministries that are volunteering for our students on social media. I'm here this morning to say that studies have proven over the years that for a student to have a healthy and long, lifelong relationship with Jesus, they need 5 healthy adult relationships mentoring them and pouring into them, church. And I'm here to say that, unfortunately, the majority of the students that are in this area don't even have 1 healthy parent at home. And so what do they need for a lifelong relationship? They need the body of Christ to step up and serve, the body of Christ to mentor and to pour into and say, you know what? I may not be your mom or dad, but I sure can be your spiritual mom and dad. I can pour into you. I can mentor you. I can love you. Even if it's from a distance, I'll be there when you need it. That's good. It will change you if you do that. When you help chaperone a youth trip, praise God. Jose still tells me war stories about the one conference. It takes a gift. Yeah. And praise God, God has gifted us. Yes. He's equipped us to do the work of the ministry. When you chaperone a youth trip or mentor a group of students in a small group setting, I'm telling you, it does something to purify your heart. Yeah. It does something to change the very depths of who you are. We don't just encourage you to serve and volunteer at this church once a month because we need bodies and we need hands to work in the ministry. We are asking you to get involved in serving because serving produces pure hearts. Serving produces pure hearts. It causes something to shift. We're about to see that Samuel is about to learn how to hear the very voice of God. And the process started with serving. It started with listening, with giving of his time. Next week, I'm praying and I'm asking God to help us hear the voice of God as a church body, as we make commitments to give above and beyond our tithe so that the world can know the love of Jesus. And Samuel helps us see that the first step of learning the voice of God is serving. If you've not plugged in and you're not serving once a month on our serve teams, we don't want to guilt trip you this morning. Please don't hear that or shame you into serving. That's not my intention or motivation, but we are going to be very straightforward with you and speak the truth in love, that as your spiritual development continues, it will be stunted if you don't serve. There's a gift in each one of us that God wants to use. I believe that. You are a world changer. You may not feel like it, but you are. You are called and created with purpose and with power in Jesus' name. There's a gift in you, and someone needs to hear that in this holy moment. Someone needs to hear that you have something to offer. You have something to offer. You have something to offer in Jesus' name. God wants to use you because he loves you. Not because you're a pawn in his hand, but he loves you. And a pure heart is a heart that serves. A pure heart doesn't just come to church to get. Oh, that's, whoa.
That's right.
A pure heart also comes to give because of what God has given us. I want to invite the band to come as I close. The story finishes in 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 2. It says, one night, Eli, Samuel's mentor, whose eyes were becoming weak, that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was, and the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And Samuel ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called? Hey, you woke me up, Eli, what's up? That's the book of Jonathan. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down, son. So he went and lay down again. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. And Eli said, my son, I didn't call you. That wasn't me. Go back and lie down. And as I read and I study this amazing passage of Samuel's life, this truth jumped off the pages, and I believe it's a warning to all of us who desire to have a pure heart before God. I believe it's Samuel hears the voice of God, but he runs to Eli. In other words, Samuel hears the voice of God and mistakes the voice of God for someone else's voice.
Yeah.
And that tells me, and it tells us as a church family, that it is possible to hear the voice of God and run to the wrong source. It's possible to hear from heaven and run to the wrong source. What are you trying to say? Scripture backs this up. Jonah heard the voice of God to preach repentance so that Nineveh could be saved. And instead of going to Nineveh, he ran in the opposite direction. Because it's possible to hear the voice of God and go to the wrong source. Eve heard God clearly when God told her she could eat from anything that she saw in the garden. Nothing was kept from her except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She had access to 99.8% freedom to do whatever she wanted. But instead of listening to the real voice of God, she listened to the snake that convinced her to eat from the wrong source. Saul heard the voice of God in a unique way, a powerful way, but a unique way, because Saul heard the voice of God through the word of the Old Testament. He heard God's voice through the Old Testament, and yet Saul still went on the road to Damascus with every intent to persecute those who follow Jesus. He heard the scripture, and yet he was going to the wrong source. One last one that is so convicting. Judas watched miracle after miracle that Jesus performed, and he listened to every sermon that Jesus preached. And yet Judas still ran to the Sanhedrin to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What am I trying to say? I'm saying if we don't have a pure heart, next week we're going to hear the stories of our missionaries. Although it's going to inspire us in these stories, I'm confident we're going to be entertained, and it may even compel us in a moment. It may even draw us into, wow, I've never actually participated in something like this, but I could get involved in that. But I'm here to warn us this morning, without a pure heart, it's possible to hear the voice of God and run to the wrong source. God, you blessed me, and I'm in the top percentage of wealth and prosperity on the planet. Statistics say that we are in the top percentile. If we own a vehicle, we're in the top percentage of wealth globally, and many of us own two. Week after week, I hear you, God. I hear you calling my name. I hear you calling me deeper in love with you. I hear you calling me to serve. I hear you calling me to grow in your word. I hear you calling me by name to change the world. But here's the deal. I'm running to my 401k right now because that's what's most important. Samuel ran to Eli because Samuel was used to Eli's voice. Hear that this morning. Eli's voice was familiar. It was comfortable because it was the voice he knew in his 12 years of experience. Many of us can relate with him. Many of us could say something like, I'm called to make a difference, and I hear the voice of God, but I've never done something significant for missions, so I'm going to do what I'm familiar with. God created us with pure hearts. It says in verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not know the voice of the Lord yet. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And so a third time, and this is what I'm praying God leads us to, a third time the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, for a third time, going to the wrong source, going to the wrong person. Here I am, Eli. You called. I want to encourage all of us in the room this morning, if the voice of God is something you are still trying to discern for your life, please, church, let Samuel's example encourage you. Not fully understanding the call of God on your life will not stop God from continuing to call. Not understanding will not stop God from still calling. He's going to still reach out even if you don't understand. If you don't recognize that it's him, he's going to keep calling till you finally get it. That's good news this morning. Samuel did not understand or discern the voice he was hearing was the Lord's, but the Lord kept calling. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he kept calling? Aren't you glad he kept pursuing you? Aren't you glad he kept loving you? Verse 8 says, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, and this is what the Lord is speaking over us this morning. Go lie down, and if he calls you, say these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came again, because he's faithful. He came again and stood there and calling just as the other time, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. That's our heart. It's our heart for missions. We don't want to manipulate. We don't want to try to coerce anyone into giving more than they should as the next week takes place. But we want to be a church that postures our heart in such a way. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. I want to encourage everyone that calls this church their home. Next week is one of the most important events that we will have all year, and none of us should miss if at all possible. God wants to position and posture our hearts to do significant things for his kingdom, and I want to encourage you to pray Psalm 51 with me all week long. I'm going to be praying this in my prayer time all week long. God created me. Let it start with me. Created me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And then transgressors will know your ways and sinners will turn back to you. See, I believe the majority of us want to hear the voice of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We want to hear from heaven. I want us to come over the next few weeks, and especially to our missions banquet next week, to say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I want us to stand all across this room. Bow your hearts. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, I thank you that this church is so full of compassionate and caring people. God, I'm so grateful to be partnered with so many individuals that love you and call out to you every day of their life. I'm so grateful to be a part of a family that is committed to you and to your word. I'm so grateful to be a part of a movement that's bigger than us. Your kingdom is coming and your will is being done in us and through us, church. But together as a church family this morning, as we launch into Missions Week next week, as we host our missions heroes, and we're inspired by what God you're doing globally in us and through us, God, together we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, making this a holy moment, I believe that you want to hear from God this morning. And so I want us to be encouraged. If you've got a relationship that's in tension and you don't know what to do, I dare you to start saying, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Come on, somebody, if you've got a decision to make about your career and you don't want to make a misstep, you don't want to missed the mark, I dare you to start saying all week long, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. If you need wisdom on how to navigate your marriage because things are not where they should be right now and you're not satisfied with the intimacy in your relationship with your spouse, I dare you all week long to say, God, speak to me. Your servant's listening. If you need wisdom to be the parent that God has called you to be, and you need to meet, you need God to help you know how to reach your son or your daughter, I dare you to pray, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening all week long. I'm calling us as a church, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening so that when next week comes, we can hear the voice of God clearly as he's instructing us what to do for world missions. So right now in this holy moment, you'd say, Pastor, I have yet to hear the voice of God, but this morning I can sense his presence. I can tell he loves me. I sense his high calling is on my life, but my life is not right before him. My heart is not pure. I've been like David, and I've made some mistakes that I regret, and I'm living with shame. I'm living with guilt, and I want to be the first person this morning to say, create in me a pure heart, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. Restore to me the joy that you've called me to, Lord. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, I need my life to get right. I need my heart to be purified. Jesus sent me as a messenger of hope. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to lift the heavy burden off of your shoulders in this moment. All you got to do is submit to him and say, purify my heart. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Lift up your hand all across this room. I need my heart pure. Thank you, Jesus.